The TSW Roundtable is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Head to StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first steps into a larger world.
Hello there.
You want the bad news?
Roger, roger.
The Force, it's calling to you.
This is not going to go the way you think.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
That's not how the Force works.
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
This is madness.
Let the past die. Kill it.
It's a trap! Fulfill your destiny.
No!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the TSW Roundtable. Once again, I am your moderator, Robert Cast, and we have a really awesome episode lined up for you today, because we, as the Star Wars Commonwealth, have exploded in this new year of 2018. We have two awesome shows that have joined the Commonwealth, and very distinct, and we're going to get into that this entire show, because this is the introduction. We have The Tatooine Sons and Less Than 12 Parsecs, which have both joined our Star Wars Commonwealth, and you're here to meet the showrunners for these podcasts. So first, all the way from California, USA, we have Dave from The Tatooine Sons. You want to say hi, Dave?
Hello, Commonwealth Roundtable listeners. I'm excited to be on here.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you. And of course, we have Tim from Less Than 12 Parsecs podcast.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. This is a great pleasure. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is awesome. So here we go. Normally we have VIPs and other people on the and other hosts from around the Commonwealth, but this is kind of like the very special episode because you guys are the new guys. You're new to the Commonwealth. Not that the Commonwealth is like ancient. It's not like you mean the British Commonwealth, but again, US. You guys have seceded from that, so that's not me. Anyway, sorry. That's neither here nor there. So I'm going to throw it off to Dave first. Your Tatooine Sons, tell me about your podcast and what it's all about and how it started.
Yeah, it started, the idea came up at Star Wars Celebration in 2017. It was sort of, our family doesn't give like gifts to each other. We give experiences. And so for Christmas December 2016, we thought, what an awesome idea of taking Sam and Nathan, my two sons, who were 14 and 10 at the time. Let's take them to Star Wars Celebration Orlando for the 40th anniversary of Star Wars. And so we went down there and had an absolute blast. And while we were down there, actually a couple of different podcasts interviewed my boys down there, and we're talking about how much fun that was. And my sons got this idea. We sit around talking about Star Wars all the time in our house. So let's put a microphone between the three of us once a week and see what happens. And that's how Tatooine Sons came out. So it really is just a podcast where a dad and his two sons geek out about Star Wars for about an hour every week.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, yeah. Well, Orlando Celebration, I was there myself. We obviously didn't meet, but again, how many tens of thousands of people were there? It would,
right.
even if we tried to meet, I know Mark and I, we tried to meet up. We had the Rogue Squadron podcast down there, the Skyhoppers, and it took us till the last night in order to have a couple beers with the Rogue Squadron guys because it was just that chaotic. So
absolutely,
that's awesome. And I love that giving experiences rather than gifts because my daughter's birthday last year, I gave her the gift of I'm taking her to San Diego Comic-Con this coming July, coming up. And it's along the same vein because she's 14. She's at an age where she's not always going to want to go on a trip with dad, but here you are. I mean, the similarities are really awesome because it's something they'll remember forever. It's a bucket list thing too. If you got, you know, I mean, you go to Star Wars Celebration, if you can't make the rest of them, you always have that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
So that's awesome. I had a question from Rob Williams from the Generation X-Wing podcast, and he was asking, how did the idea of podcasting with the family come about, and do any of your kids' classmates listen?
So the idea really came about with a couple of other podcasts. Well, we had three things that happened while we were down there. We had two podcasts interview both of my sons about their experience at Celebration, and they had a great time. And those podcasters, both of them said, hey, you guys should do a podcast sometime, because my sons are able to communicate that, their love for Star Wars, pretty clearly most of the time. Sometimes on the podcast it gets a little wonky, but they're young too. So and then we were at the 40 years of 3PO panel there, and that was costume day for us. That was the day that I was wearing my Jedi costume, and my oldest Sam was wearing his Jabba the Hutt inflatable costume, and BB Nate was wearing a BB-8 inflatable costume. And the pre-show, hype guy saw them walking into the auditorium there, the theater, and asked them to come sit on stage. And they got a bug for the applause and the excitement. And they bugged me for a few months after that about doing a podcast. So that's how we came about with that. As far as classmates, I've been in the nonprofit world for the last 10 years. And that means I'm on the road a lot and I'm traveling a lot, and I like to bring them with me. So we made the decision years ago to homeschool. So they don't have, their classmates listen to it because they're on the podcast, because it's just two of them. But, but as far as like other friends in the community and stuff like that, yeah, it's fun to see. They didn't even know that their friends were listening to it, but they saw them posting, my oldest posting on Facebook and other sources. And yeah, they definitely listened to it. And it's been a lot of fun for them.
Awesome. Yeah, well, it sounds fantastic. We're going to get into it a little bit more in a second here, but I want to throw it over to Tim. Less than 12 parsecs. Now, I've been listening to both your guys' shows, and it's very, very different, but I really like the idea of this less than 12, because is it a quick bite thing?
Each show, each episode, my goal is 5 minutes. Sometimes seven, sometimes three, but 5 minutes is the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. I just don't have a lot of time. I don't want to sound like a jerk going, I'm a busy guy, but yeah, I'm a busy guy, but I enjoy the hobby of podcasting. So a couple of years ago, after doing a long form podcast, my life sort of changed and I had less free time and I missed the hobby. So I thought, well, what can I do to still feed that need to podcast, but yet fit it into my schedule? So I'm actually good friends with Alan Voivod, who does Star Wars 7x7. He was the first daily Star Wars podcast, and he does his tagline was 7 days a week, 7 minutes a day. So I said, hey, Alan, you know what? Can I, steal your idea and do a 7 minute podcast? Or actually, I told him I would do less than 7 minutes. That was my promise to him. So I try not to go over 7 minutes. Over the years, Alan has sort of grown. His podcast has become more like 7 minutes and longer. So I feel like I've cornered the market on the short form show. And so, yeah, I shoot for every other day. I'm not daily. Honestly, I do 2 to 4 a week, and it's fun for me. I do it for myself. It's a hobby. I enjoy it. I put it out there, and if someone listens to it, if one person who I don't know listens to it, I'm happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. I feel it's weird when I know a lot of us can look at our logistics, and you can see, I mean, I get a weekly podcast I do with a buddy of mine, and we've been listened to in over 30 countries around the world. And it's like, what, us? Like, what? Like, it just doesn't make it's hard to process, but this is what it is. It's the internet. This is, your reach is limitless. You mean? So,
oh yeah.
Real quick, Tim, Rob Williams sends you a question as well.
I know, I've been dreading this. I read it in advance.
Well, what's your biggest challenge so far as a podcaster?
I think my biggest challenge is myself. You would think with a little show like this, it'd be easy to pump out content. I could do 2 shows a day, 8 days a week if I wanted to, but I don't. I think I'm a bit lazy. I have poor management skills. And so my biggest challenge is just getting off my backside and producing content. Sometimes I get these great ideas. I'm like one of those guys who can't sleep sometimes, and my brain goes crazy, and I just make up lists of awesome things I want to do, and then I never do them. So my biggest block, my biggest challenge is myself sometimes.
Well, I was listening to a few of your episodes, and but you still have your intro and you still have your outro, and you have little sound bites in the middle. Like,
yeah,
it's actually, aside from the sit down time behind the mic, once you get into the editing, there's no real difference when you're laying all that stuff in than doing a weekly entire, like, say, 30-minute episode, because the work is still there. Like, your podcast is 7 minutes, but I'm sure you got to sit down for an hour to rig everything up, make sure it's great, make sure it sounds good, make sure the intro, outro fades in, fades out, sound bites. Like, it's a lot, there's a lot more to it. And my joke with anybody I podcast with, it's like, oh, this is what we're doing right now in the moment is the easy part, because there's three of us that are just getting together on a Saturday morning to talk about Star Wars. That's a joy. It's the other stuff after, what people don't see, that goes on behind the mic, where all about podcasting. This is like, okay, now we had discussions before we started recording. We have to make sure we line everything up, especially when you're doing stuff with, if you have a guest on your show, then you have to line up, times. Like, we got Dave, you're in California. You're a 3-hour time difference, so we got to make sure that goes over well. Like, I had last year, I tried to set up a round table, and a couple people couldn't show up because I messed up, because apparently Canada leaps back or leaps forward in our time change, and the UK doesn't. They lag a couple weeks behind us.
I've had that problem.
Yeah, much like the release of Rebels. I don't know why it's a thing, but they're a couple of weeks behind North America. So there's a lot of logistics that people don't understand that goes into this. And that's where the love of podcasting as a hobby kind of really takes the reins. You know, because like I said, three dudes talking about Star Wars, like, that's easy.
Yeah. And I'll admit, I like 80% of my shows I script out in advance. I just don't start babbling, turn on the mic and start babbling.
Right.
Occasionally I do that, and I never really am happy with the end product. But, so like I said, most of the time I'll script it. That's an hour. It's, recording is the fast part. Editing is another hour. So, for a 7-minute show, it's like a 2-hour chunk of my day. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to throw it back to Dave. I'm going to get to both you guys on this, but your shows, as the Commonwealth, we have we thought we had every base covered. We have, I do some stuff for the Astromech builders. I know Rob Williams, the Gen X-Wing, he does a lot with the 501st. So you're getting peeks behind the scenes there. We have Skyhoppers that are all over. They have their book club, the Nerd Room with all their collectibles, and Tumbling Saber and Talk Star Wars with their weekly news and their in-depth discussions. And we have TSW Comics, which I do with Mark and Tim from the Nerd Room. So we're covering it. We thought we got it. Like, this, what else we need? And then here you guys are with Tim and your format, and how much, like, quick bites, and like, this is, and it's not necessarily a daily news thing. I hear that even Mark does that for our patrons. He throws out his daily show, but Tim, you have these quick bite shows that are just, like you said, they're scripted, but they're just thoughts, something you want to talk about.
Exactly. It's something that's popped into my head during the day. I'm a Star Wars nerd, so twice, three times, five times an hour, Star Wars pops into my brain. If I have a good thought, I jot it down and roll with it.
Yeah, and you're not just like, oh, I saw this on my Facebook feed. It's news. Yeah. Here it is. And Dave, like, here you are. Now we've talked about this on the roundtable tons. We've had, because I'm at an age where I call it the projected generation, because I saw Star Wars before it was A New Hope, at the drive-in with my parents in 1977. Now, that gives away my age, but Mark as well, we call us, it's kind of like this badge of honor we had. It's like, yeah, we were there. We were, and now you have your sons that you're passing this saga onto. Now, it's such a different dynamic for a show. It's really awesome. Like, I know you said, is this something you just wanted to do with your kids? Like, I know you're saying when they're very good with the mic, especially like you're saying at Celebration when they were approached, they have no problem. I listen to your show when they're, I mean, you got, you mean BB Nate, like everything, it seems very natural. And you know, they're kids behind the mic, and it's a totally different perspective. And I think for both your shows, I think this is congratulations on what you guys are doing, because it's, again, I thought every base is covered, and apparently nope, there's more to be put out there.
Right. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. It's a weekly appointment too, with my sons, where we get to have a conversation about something that we all love. And what we've found is that it's actually made our relationship a little bit stronger, because we have to learn how to cooperate. We have to learn how to work together. It's a way I can pass on to them the ideas of what it's going to take to be successful when they, you know, get into the real world. They have a schedule they have to follow. They have prep that they have to do. And sometimes you have to turn down other things because we've got a recording session set up. From a dad perspective, there's a lot outside of Star Wars that this has done for us. But one of the things that I absolutely have been so excited about when it comes to people that are listening to this is that I keep hearing story after story after story of dads and moms who have started listening to this podcast with their kids. So they'll sit around the table on Sunday afternoon or eating breakfast one day during the week, and they'll pop on the podcast. And it's a way that dads and moms and their kids have been able to connect with their kids over right. something that they love, which is the exact same way. We've got a guy that's down in Fort Worth, Texas, that's a foster dad to 6 kids. And they sit around on Monday morning before they leave for school and listen to our podcast. And that kind of stuff is what makes this really exciting for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. And also, too, when it comes to kids, and I got a 14-month-old baby, and I have a 14-year-old daughter. So, but when it comes to, especially you have a 14-year-old yourself, scheduling and what you're teaching them, too, especially, you know, as a podcaster, if you got these families that are making your show appointment listening on Monday morning, you got to be there, because guess what? If they say, nah, we'll record tomorrow, and then they go to listen to your show and it's not there, they might scroll down and find another Star Wars podcast and never return. So it's a commitment, not only to the three of you making the commitment to each other, it's a commitment to your listeners.
Yeah, that, absolutely.
You know, and it's okay to have weeks off, but it's when you, like, I know I put like clips together on my weekly show. And so when we know, say over Christmas break, that's when you get our greatest hits volume 2 right. ever come out. And the listeners know that we prepare them for it, but we try not to miss. And it's a good lesson to learn, because we all know in life, man, once you're out of high school and you're on your own, it's like, there's appointments are appointments, and when it comes
I feel bad for just having my show be sporadic, you know, 2-3 times a week, whatever. I mean, whenever I get the time. Now I'm feeling guilty.
Well,
guys.
Yes, in your defense, though, your show is completely different. It's random thought. When I hear your show, it's almost like I got a text from a buddy going, "I just had this thought about, like, you were talking about your last episode about connections." Trying to get into Star Trek with Star Wars. And it would be like having my buddy text me just a thought. You know what I mean? It's that thing that's there on your phone. So when I see a new less than 12 parsecs pop up, it's like, I wonder what Tim's thinking. It's that's kind of the connection I make with it anyway.
Okay. Thank you. I feel a little better.
All right. Okay. So let's get into, I'm going to pass it around. I'll throw it to Tim first. The Star Wars Commonwealth. How'd you hear about it? Which one of us roped you in? again, a little origin story for you joining our little Justice League here or Avenger or sorry.
Well, I really started getting into Star Wars podcasts in general. Maybe I want to say about 6 or 7 years ago. I got my job sort of changed, and I had a lot of free time at work. So, you know, they don't let you pull up videos on the computer in the office, and I don't work for a cool place like that, you know, but I'm allowed to play with my phone. So, you know, pulling up podcasts left and right to listen to. And I would always just search for new shows. In fact, I became so obsessed for searching for new Star Wars podcasts that I started this website called Star Wars Podcast Master List.com. I know it's a mouthful, but there was an old website I liked called Comic Book Master List.com, which listed all the comic book shops in the country. So I started the Star Wars Podcast Master List.com just to list every Star Wars podcast I could find. I have a list of over 100 active shows. These are shows that are still being produced. I have another 50 that I need to add to the list. I've fallen behind in the last couple months. So anyway, that's how I stumbled onto the Commonwealth, was just by searching for shows in general. I think Generation X-Wing was the first show I listened to on the on the network. I think I dropped, I sent them an email at one point saying, hey, I really like your stuff, and just told them that I've added them to the master list site. And then I heard back from Rob Williams saying, hey, great, we appreciate it. Here's all the other shows in the Commonwealth. Can you add them as well? And I did. And that's how I became familiar with the Commonwealth. And once I learned about all the other shows, like I said, my goal is to listen to every podcast out there, every Star Wars podcast, at least once. And I know I have. And then I think through Twitter or Facebook, or I just sort of struck up a conversation a few times with Rob Williams. And then he just randomly dropped me an email a couple months ago saying, hey, you want to join the Commonwealth? Now, my old Star Wars podcast before I did Less Than 12 Parsecs was called The Expanded Fandomverse. I did it with a friend, Jason Collier. Our show there was, we just chatted with other Star Wars fans who were doing interesting things with their love of Star Wars. So if they had a Star Wars project, like, we would talk to people from the R2 Builders Club. We would talk to other podcasters. We'd talk to people doing fan films or making their own comic books. And we would interview them. So we had that long form. I'm rambling. I apologize.
No, this is what it's all about. This is the round table.
We had that long form podcast. My life got busy. I couldn't do the long form podcast anymore. That's when Less Than 12 Parsecs started. Jason was still doing the Expanded Fandomverse without me. So we jokingly said, hey, let's do our own network. We'll, you know, your show, my show, we'll call it the Expanded Fandomverse Network, and good to go. So we put that tag on our shows. Well, a couple years later, a couple months ago, honestly, Jason's like, you know what? I got to step away from the Expanded Fandomverse. His life was changing. Things are going on. He couldn't do the show anymore. I'm like, cool, no problem. The network was just two guys. So we decided to dissolve the network. Two guys, two shows, no big deal. And the same week we made that decision, I had an email from Rob saying, hey, just curious, what's going on with the Expanded Fandomverse? And are you guys still a network? And do you want to join us? Okay, so here's the deal. Before I got that email and I knew the network we were doing was coming to an end, I started thinking, well, I want to join another network. Networks are fun. It's a great way to network with people.
Absolutely.
No pun intended, you know? So I thought of my three favorite Star Wars podcast networks out there. And of course, Commonwealth was in the top three.
Oh,
and so before I could even send a letter to you guys or any of these other networks to say, hey, my show is free, can I join up? I got the letter from Rob. So it was like, it was karma. It was the force. So I never sent letters to the other podcast networks. They're great networks. I would be honored to be part of them, but because it was just a sign, you know, the force works in mysterious ways. And because he emailed me before I could email him with the same question, I'm like, oh, I got to do it. I got to join the Commonwealth. So there you go. And that was the last couple months. And I've told that story before. I've told it better. I apologize. I'm just a little over-caffeinated this morning.
Yeah, no worries. This is what this episode's all about. Like I said, it's a deep dive into these two new faces and shows on our Commonwealth. The Commonwealth is getting bigger, and it's nice. Like I mentioned earlier, it's nice that we're expanding, but we're expanding and we're not doubling up a whole lot. You know, of course, when huge, everybody had the Last Jedi reaction show out. Like, of course, like, that's just, even I had my roundtable. I think we had seven people on it, and wow. and trying to hold that Skype connection together. I look like BB-8 in The Last Jedi when he's trying to fix the X-Wing for Poe, and I had all the... Like, there's got to be a meme out there somewhere for it, but...
And I always make the joke that there's Star Wars podcasting bylaws, that when certain things happen, we all have to talk about it.
Yes.
You know, when a trailer drops, everyone has to comment on it. Yeah. When the new movie comes out, we all have to review it. It's part of the rules of the game at this point.
Absolutely. But that's, we even have, I know, for the last couple of years when Celebration was going on, people at Celebration were having their podcasts on site or commenting on the experience of being at Celebration. And then we have other podcasters that are talking about not being at Celebration. And right. and the way I think Mark from Talk Star Wars said it best, when we're at Celebration, it's almost like you're looking at a tapestry, but you're nose to nose with it, or you're nose to nose with this beautiful painting, and you can't take it all in. But everybody else at home that we're watching from YouTube, we're able to have that God's eye view where they can see the entire convention floor. They can see every panel. They can see when you're on the floor, we couldn't get to everything. So we had both experiences on it throughout the network. So that was, it's everybody touches on everything. Okay. So I'm going to go to Dave Commonwealth. Like who roped you in? How would you hear about it? Like,
well, when we started the podcast, we started December 1st, so it's still really pretty new for a podcast. And I started diving in. I tend to be an obsessive personality, so when I'm doing something, I dive in all the way. And so I was downloading every possible Star Wars podcast I could, listening to different ones, jumping on Twitter, interacting with every podcast. I created a list of nothing but Star Wars podcasts, and I would go to my Twitter feed and just interact with everybody. And there was a group of podcasts that stood out both in the way that they interacted with listeners and fans, and the quality of the content and the conversation. And it kept, every time I'd listen to the podcast, I'd hear something about this Star Wars Commonwealth group, and I didn't have any idea who they were. So being the sort of overachiever that I tend to be, I think it was like after episode 4 that we did, I reached out to the Commonwealth and said, hey, what would have to happen for me to be a part, for us to be a part of this this network? And I think it was Kyle from Tumbling Saber responded back, and he was basically like, well, I think let's wait until you've actually gotten a few more episodes in the can and done some different things like that. And so he said that they were going to be looking at doing some things in January. We kept things pushing forward. And then towards the middle end of January, I reached out to him again, and we decided to move forward, which was really interesting, the timing of it. It happened right on the heels of Sam and Nate and I having the chance to go to the Collider IMAX screening that took place here in Los Angeles. The screening of The Last Jedi at the IMAX headquarters, followed up with a Q&A from Rian Johnson.
Right.
And we had a really cool moment, couple of moments. I got to ask a stupid question about whether or not Chewbacca ate the porg, which was fun. But it was really neat. BB Nate had this question that he had created in his head for the entire, you know, 3 or 4 days that we were preparing to go to this, and hadn't really talked about it much with us. And about halfway through the Q&A, I look over at him, and he's really upset. Like, you know, you could tell he was frustrated. You could see it on his face. And I was like, what are you upset about? He tends to be an introvert by nature. And if you've listened to the podcast, you know, sometimes I have to pull his comments out of him a little bit. And that's just his personality. And so he was really intimidated in this Q&A by the fact that Rian Johnson was there, and he was going to, you know, if he wanted to ask a question, he's asking the director and writer of the newest Star Wars movie that he absolutely loved. And there was 150 people in the room. And I look over at him, and he's got this real intense look on his face. And I ask him, what's wrong? He's like, I really wanted to ask a question. And I said, well, you know, buddy, you're going to have to just raise your hand and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't going to do it. And then all of a sudden, Steven Weintraub from Collider, who was moderating the discussion, said, all right, we're going to just do a rapid fire here and see what happens. And I look over at Nathan, and he's got this different look in his eyes. He's got a fire in his eyes. And I'm like, what's going on, buddy? And he says, I'm going to ask my question. I'm like, well, you know, they had just announced that Rian Johnson was going to stay afterwards and do autographs and pictures. And so I think, well, you can ask Rian then if you want. He's like, no, I want to ask it now. And it's the next time that Steven open the floor for questions, BB Nate's hand shot up and he asked about the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Was there a name? And Rian Johnson, which, you know, you may not like, a lot of people we know have a real problem with The Last Jedi. And there's a divide, among fans about it, but I think it's important for us to know that regardless of whether or not you like the movie, Rian Johnson truly is a fan of Star Wars, and he loves the fans as well. And we saw that at Celebration, where he was coming out, hanging out with the people that were waiting for the panel and all that. And he looked at Nate and said, you know, what do you think the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon is? And Nathan had created this idea. He named him after our dog. Our dog's name is Buster. And he turned the syllables around and said Turbis. And then Rian says, looks at the camera and says, Pablo, obviously referring to Pablo.
Right, yeah.
He goes, Pablo, if you're listening to this, that Porg's name is Turbis. And that it was literally the next week that we were launching with the Commonwealth. And so it was a fun couple of weeks for us, a lot of new listeners, a lot of new activity because of that. And so we've been nothing but thrilled with being a part of the Commonwealth. It's been a blast.
That's awesome. That is. Yeah, I've heard the legend of Turbis, obviously. Like, but this is awesome. Now we got the definitive story right here on the roundtable. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to tell you how you can become a patron for the Talk Star Wars and become a VIP and maybe get yourself onto this roundtable in the future. So we'll be right back, and we're going to actually jump in with these two guys to talk about what the goings on in Star Wars at the moment. So we'll be right back.
If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, then head to patreon.com/talkstarwars and become a patron. Your support will help us as we expand our programming to include further shows, and in return, you'll get access to an exclusive VIP Facebook group, a monthly prize draw, weekly Facebook live sessions, priority release podcasts, an exclusive daily podcast, and a whole lot more. Head to patreon.com/talkstarwars today and become a TSW patron.
And we're back. So it wouldn't be a roundtable unless we talked a little Star Wars. We're just, you know, talking about ourselves and our own personal shows and everything else, and which is great. But it's been a busy landscape as of late. I know this right now. It's St. Patrick's Day. And last night, The Last Jedi, was available to purchase online. The Blu-rays and 4Ks don't come out till March 27th. I know here in Canada, I'm pretty sure it's the same all over North America. And we have the Solo movie coming out in May. We have the Rebels finale just a few weeks ago. We have this Jon Favreau news. And, of course, we've got Rian Johnson's movies or whatever he's doing coming out. And we also have the Game of Thrones guys got stuff coming out. So tons to talk about. So I'm going to just throw a dart at the board here and maybe just pick. I'll throw it to Tim first. Jon Favreau. What are you thinking about this pickup by Lucasfilm?
I think it's great. You know, he's proven himself over the last 20 years to be a real journeyman behind the camera, story wise and, you know, directing wise. And yeah, I think he's got the experience to lead this crew. At this point, we don't know anything. So anything we say is just pure speculation. But when it comes to him being the leader of the show, the showrunner, I'm all for it. I don't think he's done television before, though, but honestly, is a Star Wars TV show going to be like a traditional TV show, or is it going to be something new? I'm just imagining it being more cinematic than any other show we've ever seen. And I mean, that's saying a lot. I mean, Game of Thrones is a movie every week these, you know, the last couple seasons. So I think I'm all for it. I can't wait to find out who he gets as his writing crew. I can't wait to learn more about who will be directing. I mean, I'm sure he will direct at least the first episode, but when you go from there, no one out there directs every episode of a TV series anymore. That's just not the way it's done. So, again, looking forward to it. I just wish we knew more details. I want to know when it takes place in the Star Wars timeline. You know, what's the setting? Until we learn more, I'm positive. I'm all it's all good.
Well, I'm in the same boat. Of course, I'm super curious, but I'm curious about all these different projects that are going on. Like, but you know what? This will come in time. We'll have this seeped into us here, and we'll get our we'll be no shortage of Star Wars in the future. But with Jon Favreau, like, all he has to do is, he's like, I made Iron Man 1. I started this I started this MCU. Like, and that's just, that'd be like going in for a football interview and showing off your Super Bowl ring. Like, you know, it's just, it's what else you need, especially in a genre, like very a sci-fi fantasy, you know what I mean? Like it based in real people, but not real experiences, you know, like there's a lot of similarities. So I have complete faith. He's going to knock us out of the park. Now, again, if I won't be afraid if I don't like it, it won't be, you know, I won't be if there's a lot of people out there that are just Star Wars apologists that, like, anything that comes out of Lucasfilm is fantastic. Well, you know, we've learned over the last few months, not everybody goes by that. You know,
I have a phrase I want to share that I say all the time on the show, is that all Star Wars is good Star Wars, even the not so great Star Wars.
Yes.
I got to get that on a t-shirt one of these days.
There's something else. It's something, I think that's, there's an old joke about sex and pizza.
Yeah.
So we are PG. We're not going to get into the joke. So, but Dave, what do you think? What do you think of this Jon Favreau stuff?
Oh, well, I love it. I think that the way he launched the MCU with Iron Man, I you know, like you guys were saying, is that bodes really, really well. I also think that his ability to make CG characters look real, with what he did with Jungle Book, and he's also doing this new Lion King film that's coming out as well. I think that he's got some skills there that will help make a Star Wars live action series look better than it would have otherwise. And so I'm excited to see what he does with that. He's got a great relationship with Disney because of the work that he's done with the MCU and these other movies. And I think that they, you know, with the reaction to The Last Jedi, I'm pretty confident that Lucasfilm and Disney is being very, very careful right now about what they bring into the mix and who they're working with. It was a great financial success, but I think that they need to make sure that the fans are getting a little bit more fan service and stuff. And I think that he can do that. But the problem I have, every time I see Jon Favreau, I keep thinking about the fat friend of Rudy from the Rudy movie.
Yes.
And that needs help picking up chicks. And so every time I see him, I can't help but think about that. So
yes, but he did get the girl.
He did get the girl. So
see, and I the limo. Swingers.
Yep.
There, I was thinking about
that too. The opposite.
Yeah. So, that's funny.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we're going to switch gears. Dave, I'm going to throw it back to you right away. We just had, I'm sure the UK is caught up by now. By the time our patrons get this, this is like a quick release for the patrons, but we'll be rolling out this episode a little later in the month. Rebels is finished. Obviously you've got two boys and we know them. So what did they, if they haven't heard it on your show, what was the reaction in your household?
Watching the finale, especially the last hour-long episode or 45-minute, whatever it ended up being, episode, they were we were really worried about about Ezra. They had really grown attached to that. Star Wars Rebels was where they entered into Star Wars fandom,
right?
And so this was a big deal for them. I think that they loved what happened with Ezra, the journey that he went on in all four seasons, and they were really thrilled that he didn't die at the end. And the fact that there's that open-ended, you know, future for Ezra and for Thrawn, and now that Ahsoka, which they loved that Ahsoka came back, in that, and she's with Sabine. I think that they were extremely excited about it. But I think that they're curious to see what the end of the story is. And so they're hoping for, this new sort of teased animated series that hasn't been officially announced yet, but Filoni has gone on record in the last couple of weeks saying is coming in the future. I think that they're really hoping that it continues those ideas with it.
I think with Rebels, what they did at the end, they ticked a whole lot of boxes. Ahsoka's back. So you got all the animated fans all the way back to the Clone Wars are super pleased. And Sabine, a great character, moves on. You answer the question of, like, where's Ezra and Kanan during the original trilogy? You answer this question. The legacy fans, where's Thrawn? Like, you know what? Aside from obviously Leia and Han's twins and Bourne, like the skeleton of the Thrawn trilogy can almost fit in canon without without the twins,
Do have Jason now.
We do have Jason. So, you know, but, you know, like there's aside from, you know, where was Thrawn during the OT? Well, it's kind of the same. So it's not obviously legacy will have to, or legends will have to stay legends. And there's be a lot of tweaks, but all these boxes were ticked and you had the tragedy of a Kanan. Giving himself up. Now you have Jason Syndulla. Like, this is like we know Hera. We've been getting hints through comics and through the Forces of Destiny little clips on YouTube. We know Hera lasts all the way, and we know she's in Rogue One. You hear her name announced, you see Chopper and you see the ghost. And now you see, Hera was in the Battle of Endor. Like, I think they did a great job wrapping it up, but giving. Like something more at the end, and like every single Star Wars movie, show, book, or anything, regardless how macabre it is, or you look at Empire Strikes Back, regardless of how it ends on kind of a bummer, it always ends with hope.
Yep,
always ends with hope. You hope Ezra's around. You hope there's more for these characters. Like I thought it was great, Tim. I should have asked you before I hopped on this. Do you watch Rebels at all?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I ingest everything that comes my way. It has the Star Wars logo on it. It's mine, you know?
Awesome.
But yeah, no, I love the way it ended. We knew that Ezra and Thrawn had to be off the playing field before the original trilogy rolled around. And this was a great way to do it without killing them off. I can't wait to see what they do next. I hope we don't have to wait too long. It seems like with animated shows that there shouldn't be a gap, because kids have short attention spans and a new generation of kids. A new group of kids. There's a new group every couple of years, they need their own Star Wars. We need something fast. I hope we get it fast. Right now, not just with the next animation show, but all these movies and TV shows, it's the waiting. The waiting's killing me. Yes. I mean, yeah, sure, we're getting a movie a year, but the wait. I want everything.
Well, that's because we're in a microwave society, Tim. You know, we all three of us have experienced the gaps in Star Wars. And so I think we need to remember to keep it balanced with that. We're getting more Star Wars now than we've ever dreamed of having. When I was a kid, I don't know if I could have handled all the Star Wars we're getting right now.
Right.
I totally get that we want to hear that, but I think that sometimes it's good to let it breathe a little bit and let people sort of digest and see what happens, because they're pushing out content faster than we could take it in. So,
well, also, I think maybe it's not the wait that's killing me. It's the fact that we don't know the when it's going to come.
Right.
Yeah, we know there's a new series on TV. We know there's going to be a bunch of new movies, but we just don't know when. If I had like some dates, if they could tell me, winter of 2025, okay, great, I'm good. But the fact that we don't know the when, it makes the waiting harder for me anyway.
Well, also, also too, like, it just seems like, wasn't it yesterday that Clone Wars was canceled and Disney bought Lucasfilm, and now we're like two-thirds of the way done this third trilogy? Like, it goes quick, and I know what you mean. Like, it's just, we want these answers, but it will blink and look at Rebels is over already. And I thought I just started watching it like 6 months ago, but no, it's been 4 years. Awesome. Okay. So just, one more thing, and before we wrap this up, we got a yet another Star Wars movie coming out in a few months. Solo, a Star Wars Story. And I wanted to, ask you guys, I'll throw it to Dave first. Do you have a ritual? What are you doing? I'm just going to, let's assume that, yes, we're all buying our tickets online to get the earliest possible showing so nothing gets spoiled. That we know. we're on a Star Wars podcast after all, with Star Wars podcasters. Dave, have you started a ritual with your boys? Do you have something you do? Do you do a dinner first, or is there a hype thing, or is it what do you do to experience a new movie, and what are you going to be doing to experience Solo?
Well, it's been a little bit different each time. We've only had 3 Star Wars movies that I can watch with the boys. And so Force Awakens, we weren't able to get tickets to the earliest showing because they sold out so fast and we got blocked out. We actually spent an hour trying to log on to the website to purchase our tickets, couldn't get them, and ended up driving at 11 o'clock at night to the movie theater and tried to buy tickets in person. So we got a second day showing on that. So our ritual for The Force Awakens was to block out everything going on around us for about 24 hours, which was awesome. We got in line probably, and if there is a ritual, it's getting in line, 5 or 6 hours before the movie so we can get a good seat. But now that we've got reserved ticketing and reserved seats here where we're at, we don't have to do that. This year, the Solo movie will come out, the earliest showing for us here will come out on the 24th of May, which is my oldest son's birthday. And so our ritual this year is we're going to have a birthday party at the movie theater and buy tickets for all of his friends. Because again, we do experiences rather than items for celebrations and things like that. So we're going to invite all of his friends together and family together. We're going to buy tickets and we're going to go see Solo, A Star Wars Story as a family and his friends to celebrate his birthday. So we're excited about it for sure.
Fantastic. Yes, it's perfect. Like he couldn't ask for a better.
He was a little disappointed because the original release date of episode 9 was May 24th, 2019,
right,
before they moved into December, which would have been his birthday too. So it's actually worked out this time the other way, but he was disappointed when they moved that one to December.
You get Solo. Tim, what's your Star Wars now that we'd have 3 already. Now we're moving on our 4th under this Disney logo. What's your Star Wars movie ritual?
Well, I have a son who's 15 now, and since the last 3 movies, it's been the same. We get our tickets in advance. I'm in the state of Maine, which is kind of a rural state. We have 1 IMAX screen in the entire state, so we always try to get tickets for that. The very first showing for the biggest screen in the state, we get that. And then when the day rolls around, I'll admit I sneak him out of school a little bit early and we go and get a meal, nothing too heavy, because then we end up standing in line a couple of hours, even though all the local theaters do advanced seating now. For some reason, they haven't done it for opening night for the IMAX screens for any movie. So it's always a mad rush to get there early, to get a nice center seat, because as great as IMAX is, if you're off to the left or the right and there's that curvature, it just bugs me personally. So we have to get there so we can get center. And he's been great. He's 15 now, so 12, 13 when Force Awakens came around, even though we're sitting in line for like 5 hours or so.
Well, come on, Wars line is better than being in school.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
And the local news always shows up. And here's a little inside baseball. My wife works for one of the local news channels, so we're always on the TV. They know us. The cameraman comes to us. We get to be on the local news, and it's been great. I'm looking forward to Solo and episode 9. Just keep doing this with him. The family tradition is that we go opening night, and that my wife and daughter don't want to face the nerd crowds. So
yes,
we'll go like as a whole family, like the Sunday night after it's been out a couple days, and it's been fun. It's been great. And I just want to say that I love it because a couple years ago when the Clone Wars cartoon was in the theater, I took him to that thinking this would be the only opportunity in my life to take him to a Star Wars movie unless they did something like a special edition re-release. But I'm glad life has changed and brought us more Star Wars.
Awesome. Well, as far as myself go, I saw Force Awakens and Rogue One with my wife. We just got married. I think it'll be 5 years in June. So, it kind of lined up perfectly. So this year, though, we've had a baby in between Rogue One and The Last Jedi. So we couldn't line up. Something happened with the babysitter. I ended up having to give away my wife's ticket to a coworker. I know I should have stayed home, let my wife go, but it's Star Wars. I'm sorry. Like if any other movie, But right. So that's the tradition. So hopefully we can have our ducks in a row this time for Solo, because it makes it kind of a nice thing for us to do, and it's pretty yeah. cool. And it looks like, I mean, we started this and we were damn near newlyweds when all this started rolling out. So now it's just something we enjoy together, and it's a nice night. And I'm glad she likes Star Wars, probably not as much as I do, but you mean, and she's always super unbelievably supportive, especially with podcasting. Or you mean, I'm building an R2-D2 in our garage. Like, it's, you know, like other guys got hot rods and motorbikes, and no, not her husband. No.
Well, that's what's funny, because with us too, you know, you talk about the, this is your hobby, this is your thing you do, is Star Wars and building your R2-D2. You know, for years, Sam and Nate and I had we just couldn't find a common page. You know, mm-hmm. some dads hunt with their kids, some dads fish with their kids, some dads, you know, fix cars with their kids and teach them how to do that. We didn't have something like that. And so this podcast for us has become that thing that we do together. And so it's fun how Star Wars can be something more than just a movie franchise or a TV series. It can actually be something that brings memories and has, you know, a real world application to our lives. It's fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Excellent. Well, you know what, guys, this has been fantastic. I'm going to ask you both where people can find you and find your show and even all the other good stuff. But personally, I just want to say officially, I know you've been welcomed on Twitter, but officially from the Star Wars Commonwealth, welcome to the Commonwealth, and it is a pleasure to have you both and both your shows on the network. And again, it's just amazing, another more niches filled, more gaps. You mean, we thought we had it covered, but no, we didn't. So thank you very much for both being a part of this Commonwealth, and we look forward to an awesome future. And we're gonna watch your boys grow up, Dave. We're gonna we're gonna hear your boys grow up.
right.
So I'm gonna throw it to Tim first. Tell us where they can find your show and your Twitter stuff, and how they people yeah. can reach you and all that other good stuff.
Well, definitely StarWarsCommonwealth.com. Go there. Everything's there.
Yes.
That links. But also my personal site for the website is 12ParsecsPodcast.com. That's 12 with the TW. Spell it out. And from there, you'll find the links to all my social media accounts on Twitter at 12ParPod. I got Facebook. All my social media stuff is a mess because they're not. None of them are the same name. Unfortunately, when I was setting all this up, I didn't really research it, and some of the stuff was already taken. There was another podcast years ago that's now defunct called 12 Parsecs. So they had some of the best names. So anyway, I send people to the website, 12ParsecsPodcast.com. You'll find links to all my social media accounts there. Please follow me, say hi, whatever. I'm happy to talk with you.
Awesome. Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to let you know a little secret. I have a weekly podcast I do, and I have a Twitter account for that. And as a co-host, I also have my own Twitter account, which is I'll tell you in a second. But I noticed, because of all the podcast interactions and all the retweets and tweets and everything else, anybody I was interested in following, like let's say if you're following Jon Favreau on Twitter, it's lost in the shuffle. So I actually have a secret Twitter account that nobody knows about. So if I want to see what my favorite celebrity is up to, I want to see what William Shatner had for lunch, or what you mean Ron Howard said on Twitter. I have like 100 people I follow on the side that nobody, so it doesn't get lost in the shuffle. So there's a little, nice. There's a little podcasting Twitter tip. Have a secret account, and the trick is, make sure nobody follows you. You mean, like, just make it so. It almost make it like a bot, but okay, you guys in the States, don't make a bot. That's something. maybe if you're in Canada, you can get away with it. But so anyway, Dave, tell us about where people can find your show and your Twitter handles and all that other good stuff.
Yeah. Like Tim said, Commonwealth website, StarWarsCommonwealth.com is a great spot to start. We also have a website, Tatooine Sons. That's S-O-N-S .com. And you can find, we do 2-3 articles at least a day on there. We've got our podcast stuff up there. And all of our links to our social accounts are on there as well. And then on any of the social networks, if you're looking for us, it's just at Tatooine Sons for Instagram or Twitter, and you can just search it on Facebook as well. So that's awesome. That's where we're at.
Yeah. Excellent. And you know, I love the double play there with the sons being Tatooine has a couple sons, and it just it's perfect. I love it. So
we were sitting there trying to figure out the name for this, and Sam, my oldest, he came up with it, we ran with it. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You can find myself. I am at Robert MMCast on Twitter. And of course, you can find me at talkstarwars.co.uk for all the other good stuff we have there. And do not forget about the Star Wars Commonwealth. I do a weekly show if you feel like a giggle, not around your children. I do the Roman Podcast. That comes out Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern every week. And that's about it. That's all I got going on. So again, gentlemen, welcome to the Commonwealth. Thank you for being on this month's roundtable, and we will see you next time around the roundtable.